All right, it is so good to have you on this Thanksgiving week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We are still thinking God's way so that we can do God's will. And as we think God's way today, we want to look at a mental perspective concerning gratitude. How does the Lord want us to think about the things that we are grateful for, and how we should think about the things God has brought into our lives? And we're also going to take a few moments and maybe hit on what it means to be ungrateful unto our Lord. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says this: giving thanks unto the Father. And I'm going to stop on that phrase. Giving thanks unto the Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and sins committed this past week. Father, I need forgiveness and cleansing and an anointing of your Spirit. Father, I name these things to you in my prayer closet. And I have asked for a spirit of confession and godly sorrow and repentance and change. And Father, I just pray that you will crucify and mortify my flesh, as Paul taught us. And Father, I pray for a cleansing by your Spirit and anointing upon my mind and my heart and my body. And please, Lord Jesus, let me be a vessel to be used of you. Just fill me with peace and a spirit of obedience. Father, bring my thoughts under the captivity of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for your Spirit to speak to our hearts. Let everyone in this place know that you love them, that you desire a personal, intimate relationship with them, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, which is real. He is real. I will send him to you who believe. And Father, you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And it is not for us to see our name in lights, because we are precious in our Father's eyes, and there are other souls that are precious in your eyes that we need to be ministering to. So please, Lord Jesus, let us find our real purpose and our real identity in you. In your glorious name we pray. Please, Holy Spirit, take over. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to hit you with the Greek word first, all right? Giving thanks unto the Father. Now, that's two words there, giving thanks, but it's only one word in the Greek. And that word is Eucharistia. I'm messing up the emphasis. Eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. Thank you. Eucharisteo. It's the word we get Eucharist from. So let me give you the Greek definition, and I'm going to slow it down. Number one, it is a vocal response. All right? A vocal response. That's why you speak the Eucharist. It is a vocal response. So you say it out loud. So when he's saying here, giving thanks, the first thing you want to think about, the Lord wants me to express my gratitude with my mouth. You mean when I'm around people? Well, it'd be great when you're around people, but it's great when you're by yourself. Speak out loud. It is a vocal response that expresses gratitude. A vocal response that expresses gratitude. Thank you, Miss Beth. A vocal response that expresses gratitude for a specific, you put a star over specific, for a specific kindness done. Greek words have emphasis. It's the most expressive language ever known to man, other than the Hebrew language. And that's why God moved upon these folks 2,000 years ago to write this New Testament in Greek and Aramaic. But the bottom line is their emphasis, our emphases in these Greek words. And for this particular Eucharisteo word, it is specific. All right? Specific. So I would say thank you, Miss Betty, for working the sound system. All right? A specific expresses gratitude for a specific kindness done, a specific favor granted, or a specific gift given. Specific, specific, specific. And I could give you a synonym for this word, but I'm not. I'm going to give you an antonym, and all you have to write down is not general. This is not a general statement of thanksgiving. Nothing wrong with me saying, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for all the blessings you brought in my life. Nothing wrong with that, but I've got to learn to understand this too. All right? Very specific. All right, it's about me getting up this morning saying, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for my health. So, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. I'll take a few steps here. Lord Jesus, it's specific, all right? It's specific. Now, how is it used here? Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, all right, now you get specific, which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to figure out what those three verses are explaining. They're explaining our salvation. So it's basically saying, I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for our salvation, which is specific. All right? To say, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for my salvation. But then he gets specific and breaks down what salvation means to him at that moment. He's thanking him for the blood that has redeemed him. He's thanking him for the ability of Christ to take me from when I was lost and now I'm saved. I had a born-again experience where I got translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so what do? When you're praying a prayer of thanksgiving like that, what you are doing is you're reminding yourself of some things. And you're being very grateful. It's very good to remind yourself of good things, all right? The good things God's done for you, and not wallow in the self-pity things that have happened for the last 20 years. So that's what he's teaching us. Man, Lord, once I was lost, now I'm saved. Amazing grace, Bob. Hey, man, it's good to remember that. And so he's breaking it down that way into a specific. Let me show you another thing. We're coming back to Colossians. But let me show you something else. Go to 1 John chapter 1 because, man, I was studying this the other morning. The Spirit kept driving me to 1 John in my mind. So we need to go there. Because this word has the same connotation. The emphasis is on specific. The emphasis is on specific. First John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 7, the end of it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Now, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. Singular, meaning all the sin. All right? But notice how confession is used. If we confess our sin, no. If we confess our sins. All right? Specific individual sins. It's a plural. Confession, the Greek, is the same tense, the same emphasis on specific. Now, let me tell you, I think, two huge weaknesses in the Christian church. A lot of folks will stand up and say, or they'll get in their prayer closet, or they'll go to their priest or whoever, and they'll make a statement like this. They'll say, I just want to thank the Lord for all my blessings. Or they'll go and say, you know, I just need God to forgive me of all my sins. All right? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. We're still acknowledging some good truth there. But my friend, if you never get specific with God, let me just give you this example. Let's say all my life, all I say is, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. When I do that, I am never dealing with the reality of exactly which sins I'm confessing here. So if you've got a sin of covetousness, if you've got a sin of bitterness, if you've got a sin of anger, a sin of self-pity, a sin of hatred, whatever it is, we need to take that individually before God. Psalm 139 says, search me, O Lord, and show me each individual wickedness which is within me, and then allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, and pray for a spirit of confession and godly sorrow and true repentance and change. There's four specifics that are scriptural. And let the Lord deal with our individual sins. Nowhere in life do we deal in generalities other than the church. You go to a doctor and he runs 3 days of tests. And he finally wants to meet with you and you sit down and he goes, Doc, what'd you find, man? You're in bad health. Then guess what walks up? You say, wait a minute, man, you just read, oh, is it my heart? Is it my lungs? Is it my stomach? I want you to tell me specifically what's wrong with me. But boy, when it comes to really, oh Lord, forgive us our sins and thank you for all the blessings and woo, here we go. Nobody runs a business based on generality. Nobody raises their children in general terms. If you've got a marriage that is on general terms, you're in a whole heap of trouble. I want you to understand, every other relationship, every other area in our life, we drown in the specifics of it. And that's why these Greek words say, and we sang the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And there's nothing wrong with you taking an hour this week, getting in your prayer journal, and say, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to let your Holy Spirit remind me of some things I need to be grateful for and write them down one by one by one. Fallen human nature likes generalities when it benefits them. And the bottom line is this. When you're specific about your sins, and when you confess them, that word too means out loud. And praise God, you don't have to confess it to any man. But when you get along with the Lord, it doesn't hurt for you to say it out loud. Lord, this is the sin I feel that's tripping me up right now in my life. And when you say it out loud, you know what that kind of makes it? It makes it real. And when it makes it real, hopefully it'll make us deal with it. But man, the greatest thing for fallen human nature and for the devil is for us to never deal with these types of things. So I want you to understand confession and thanksgiving, that those are vocal expressions and they are to be spoken specifically. So go back with me to Colossians chapter 1 and let's get into this. We want to count our blessings. We want to name them one by one at times and on a regular basis. But we don't have time to do it every day. Oh no, I don't expect you to do it every day. It'd be nice to do it once a week or a couple of times a week to show some gratitude for all the wonderful things He's doing. Goodness gracious, are we the person that just sends a card up to heaven saying, God, thanks for the gift? You know, let's get specific about it. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says this, giving thanks unto the Father about our salvation, but I want to stop there. Giving thanks unto the Father. All right, here's the thought process. Here is the thought process and the perspective. When you are thanking God, the Lord wants you to think of Him as your loving Heavenly Father. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you've done. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for the things you brought into my life. Let me show you two verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And you know where we're going, but let's go there anyway. Ask, seek, and knock. But let me show you what it says here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 says this: What man is there of you whom if his son, so if he's got a son, he's a father. What father is there of you who if his son, who you love, asks for bread, you give him a stone? And then verse 11, if you then being evil, that word evil in the Greek is poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, and it means the ability to be evil, or the ability to commit evil. In fallen human nature, we have that ability, all right? We have the ability to be evil or to commit evil. If you then being poneros, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who is perfectly righteous, perfectly loving, perfectly good, if we know how to bless our children, think how much our heavenly Father desires to give good things to us who ask. So he wants us to think in the spirit of gratitude. You want to sit down this week, you want to sit down on a regular basis and say, Lord, you are my loving Heavenly Father, and I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for this. He wants you to have that concept of a father giving things to his children. You're his child, and this is what he's doing. Let me show you another one. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, in the same mental prospect is being shared here. We want to get this perspective. In James chapter 1. We got to get specific. I was meditating on this morning. You know why we can walk out this door today and see folks that are getting out of church and walk up to them and say, hey, what are you? They'll say, well, I'm a Baptist. Or I'm a Methodist. Or I'm a Pentecostal. Religion is general. Religion is so general. What are you? Well, I'm a born-again believer. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have a personal, intimate relationship with Him as my Lord and Savior by His Spirit. You think that might make somebody uncomfortable? It's personal. It's intimate. And it is specific. I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. It's all about Jesus and knowing Him in a personal way. It's not about being a good moral person. It's not about being a member of a religion. It's not about going to church on Sunday morning. It's about specifically being in a personal, intimate relationship where you can look back and say, I know the season when I got born again. I know the time when the Lord was dealing with me and I was birthed and are translated into His kingdom is what we're reading today. But notice what the Father said. Verse James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. The Father of the lights, of the stars, the sun and the moon, who is so wonderful that He did all those amazing things and He still thinks enough of me to bring good gifts into my life. Of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Each and every good gift. Each and every perfect gift. A vocal response that expresses gratitude for a specific kindness done, a specific favor granted, or a specific gift given. Specific, specific, specific. I looked out among many of you. I woke up this morning at 10 to 3. Wide awake. And I thought it was either 5 or 5:30. And so I get up. And I go in there and hit the button on the coffee and I said, oh my goodness, it's 10. And I was wide awake. So I said, okay, Lord, there is a reason for this. So you got me in how I'm to think and how I'm to pray. And so I sat down on my couch and I started back there. And I prayed for everybody in our church. And I do that probably two or three times a week. And based on where you sit. But then the Lord let, and He'll always do this. If you're willing to sit, He'll take you a step deeper. Then He took me a step deeper to think about the miracles that He's worked for all of you and your children. And I thought about different things that have gone back to the 90s. And the Lord kept bringing them to my mind. And I just started thanking Him and thanking Him and thanking Him and thanking Him. And I kept going back. And I ended up around here with Lehman and Margie's group. And you know, because I know where everybody sits. And my friend, when you do that for this church family, it is incredible what God has done for this group since about 1995. And that's why I came in here today just so full of joy. I feel like I'm floating through the roof. And a lot of you folks don't seem to have what I've got today, but I'm not going to let that stop me. I mean, a lot of folks don't seem as happy as I am to be hearing about all this, but hey, that's okay. I'm kind of like Charlie Brown, Linus. They're not going to rob me of my joy today. But you know, my friend, it's powerful to get specific with the blessings God has brought into our lives. And then it's powerful to get specific about the sins that are in our life to allow another precious drop of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of that thing as we bring it before the Lord. And be done with it. And find that victory. So that's what I want you to work on this week. The specifics of Thanksgiving. Alright, now let's move on. I want to touch on, I want to say one more thing. Go back to Colossians 1. Go back to Colossians 1. I want to show you an example. I got this morning. Go back to Colossians 1. Got a little time here for our Bible study. Let's go back to Colossians 1. Alright, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. And then he gets specific, and notice what he says about salvation. Number one, the Father has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So that's one aspect of his salvation that he's thanking the Father for, the ability that God has to give us this inheritance. And then in verse 13, number 2, he breaks it down specifically again. He has delivered us by His power. I can't save myself. From the power of darkness, I was once lost, and has translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you're thinking about the power of that new birth experience, and you're thinking about your future again. Thanking God for the future. We're in the kingdom now. We're going to enjoy the kingdom in the future. And then in verse 14, which really always grabs my heart, in whom we have redemption. Now he's thinking about what it costs God to save me. His very blood, through His blood, and how I've got forgiveness of all my individual sins. So he breaks it down specifically. And isn't that powerful? So I was studying that. And the Spirit led me to ask the Lord, said, Lord, what's another example of that? And you're going to think this is basic and this is elementary, but I want to share something with you. I want you to think about every time you sit down to eat a meal, we're going to do it here in a moment, and you say the blessing. I want to praise God. For folks that sit down and say, I want to praise God. I had prayer with my mom and dad this week. I was talking to them Friday morning. I said, Daddy, let me pray with you. And I said, Mom, and then Mama got on the phone. I prayed with her. And one of the things, I thank God for the home in which I was raised, where my mom and daddy prayed with me every night. And they were Sunday school teachers. And so the Bible and these things were always there. And they weren't religious people, but they knew the reality of Jesus Christ. And so I've been meditating on that. And I wanted to pray that with them because you never know when they'll head on to be with Jesus. And one of the things I thought about, I've never eaten a meal with my daddy that he didn't say the blessing. And many of my family members, from the plantations of Walterboro to the streets of Charleston, they always said the blessing. You know, it's just our family. And so I was thinking about that. You know, when you say the blessing, I want you to think about that for a moment. You're thanking the Lord for the food that has been provided. But if you really want to get specific, you're thanking Him for the job He's given you that purchased the food or the ability. You're thanking Him, you know, for the money that's been provided that did that. You're also thanking the good Lord, you know, Lord, I've got health to sit here and eat today. I want to thank You, Lord Jesus, that we're here and I've got health. You know, me especially, I know what it's like to be on a feeding tube where you don't get to eat. And you know, so you're thanking the Lord for that. And then when you're saying the blessing, you know, also, in a specific sense, you may not mention all these things, but you're thanking the Lord for the folks you're eating with. You know, you're there with family or friends or whatever. And you're acknowledging something about God, that He is the provider of all these good things. You're showing you're not taking it for granted. You're showing that, you know, and I was advising somebody a while back that asked me this question. They were around co-workers and they said, you know, I'm convicted to say the blessing. I said, well, I would advise you just to bow your head and have your own blessing within yourself. We never want to come across as imposing on anyone something. And I said, but if and I believe if it's God's will, somebody might say something to you and say, hey, if you want to say the blessing, that's fine with us. I mean, they'll notice. But what I'm saying, it's a witness. And you might think it's just a simple thing. But my friend, I think it's great in the eyes of God. And when we start breaking these things down, and we get specific about these things, you know, what these words say, you know, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. So today, you know, we'll say it together, but this week when you're saying your blessing, you're really thanking God for a whole lot more than just the result. The food's the result of a lot of things you're thanking God for at that moment. And I think it very much pleases the Lord. All right, let me just touch on ingratitude. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to study just for a moment the sin of ingratitude. Hopefully we can close out today with a prayer that I would like to teach myself and to teach you. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says this, let your conversation or your behavior or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He, the Lord, hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want to grab the middle phrase first. Be content with such things as you have. Now, here we go again. This is meta. You want to think God's way. And I'm not giving you the Greek, but this is what it means. Be content with such things as you have right now. Be content with such things as you have right now. I've got to grab that part of it. Be content with such things as you have right now. What He's basically telling the Christians is live in the moment. Live in this moment. And be content with such things as you have right now. This is a mental outlook. It is a mental persuasion. Living with contentment in the present and in the moment. Now, what's the opposite of that? Well, let me just lay it out this way. If you're living in the present, grateful for what you have right now, you're not always wanting the next. You know, the next job, or the next relationship, or the next this, or the next that. And I'm going to show you why it's important. So if you're that person, you need to check. You know, I'm kind of always wanting the next. We always used to joke in the Southern Baptist Convention when I used to go to a lot of pastors' conferences and those things. And I heard it years ago when somebody would say, well, you know, what's your church think of you? You always said, well, you know, I'm not as good as the last pastor they had, and I'm not as good as the next one they're going to get. And that's how these guys always would answer that. They say, you know, I'm not as good as the last one, and I'm not as good as the next one they're going to get. And, you know, a lot of times that's how we are with a lot of things in life. So we're always looking for the next. Or some folks are looking for what's next. Are they looking for more? Are they wanting bigger? Are they wanting better? But notice the underlying cause of the sin of ingratitude. In verse 5, let your lifestyle, let your mental approach, let your behavior be without covetousness. The motive for ingratitude is covetousness. I need what others have. I need what the culture says I should have to impress us. To be at a certain economic level, I need to show that off. To look as though we are successful, we need to have certain things in our lives. And so folks live in that way. You're not grateful for what God, what you have in your life right now, because of what others may think. And so covetousness within our culture leads us to do things and purchase things and want things that may not have anything to do with God. And the Lord's saying, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Lord's saying, am I not enough for you? Is what I brought into your life not enough? Am I not taking care of you as well as I need to? You don't seem satisfied with what I'm giving you right now at this moment. And we all know folks that are like that. And it's always, it's never enough. And so notice what he says there. Let your mental persuasion, your conversation, your behavior be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I love this. All right, no, the first point I made was, I want to be content with such things as I have right now. I want to live in this moment. I tell Patty all the time, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I have got it all. And I felt that way for many, many years. I'm so blessed. Well, what all do you have? Well, I go out in the morning with a cup of coffee at 5 o'clock and start praying, and I'm feeding about 50 doves right now, and I like to watch them swoop in and swoosh in. And I go sit in the woods in the evening, and I pray, and I say, man, this is what's real, and thank you, Lord Jesus. And then I get to minister to people, and I get to see people, and some folks I help, and some folks I wish I could help more, but, you know, it's just a great life. And I just praise God. There's nothing I need and there's nothing I want. So notice what he says there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what true success is? Finding out who you are in Christ Jesus. And being comfortable with that person. Be content with the things that I've brought into your life. And be content with the life that I've given you. And be who you are in me. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And just be comfortable with who you are in me. And that's what that verse is saying. To live in the moment. Thank you, Lord, for everything I have right now. You know, and I wrote these, I shared this Wednesday night. The Lord asked, am I enough? Are you not satisfied with what I have provided for you and your family? Have I not provided well enough for you? Now I wrote down two thoughts. Last week as I was working on this, I had it on one of the news channels. And I saw the folks that were leaving Syria, and they stopped with one little crippled girl who was about 8 years old, and she was getting pushed by her brother who was about 12. And I didn't see a mom. There was an elderly man that looked like a granddad. And she had a baby doll, and that's all they had. And they were fleeing the bombing in Syria, and they'd lost everything. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of refugees throughout this world right now that are facing those things while we complain about the vehicle we drive. Amen. The judgment that's coming toward America is going to be harsh, but it's needed. It's needed. Now, I sound the alarm, and others do also, and it goes out. And then I wrote a second thought. When you spend time with folks who don't have much, and you try to help them, whether it's here in Wayne County or the homeless in Nashville, you gain a great appreciation for the things God has given you. And you find out you have more than you need, and you start using some of your resources to help other folks. Mm-hmm. Folks that have not had the advantages that you have. But see, we fall into a trap. We live almost in this circle that is a socioeconomic level where all we do is socialize with the folks that are of the same socioeconomic level. We don't need much help. They don't need much help. But then it turns into a situation where we're trying to keep up with the folks that are on our level if someone tends to look like they're getting ahead of us on that level. And you have to break out of that thing. I told Patty the other day, I said, when your girls get older, I said, once a month, we're going to Nashville and we're going to serve in that homeless mission. We're going to teach our young people how to serve in that homeless mission. A little Christian that works over at Emerald, she goes to First Baptist. And about a month ago, Patty and I went in there to eat. She came running up. She goes, Brother Leo, our youth group went to the homeless mission in Nashville. She said, I'm going back. I'm going back. She's the sweetest little girl. You know, I told Patty this week when I was working on this, I said, we're going to start, as these girls get a little bit older, we're going to start doing these things. And we've got some boys that are coming up too, but it's been mostly these girls that Patty's had all these years. It changes your life. When I was in South Carolina, every year we went to West Virginia at Thanksgiving and I preached. And we took truckloads of toys and clothes to the coal mines in West Virginia. And as you go up there several times, and it'd already be snowing. I would go this week, it'd already be snowing in those mountains. And they would be carrying buckets to where the trains go under those little brick trestles. The coal would get wiped off the coal cart, so they'd pick up coal in those buckets to heat with. For 5 years in a row, Richard Goodell and six or seven other of us, we went up there. And do you think my next 2 months is leading up to Christmas? I was thinking about material things. No, I was thinking about those folks in West Virginia. Yeah. It gets your mental perspective where it needs to be. And it'll give you a true spirit of thanksgiving. And there are folks here in Wayne County. There are folks in Davidson County. There are folks all over that we can get to and we can help and we can do something for them. Based on Hebrews 13:5, I want to close with this. Be content with such things as you have. And this is my prayer. Lord Jesus, I want in my life and for my life exactly what you want me to have. Lord Jesus, I want in my life and for my life exactly what you want me to have. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that I have today. All that you have provided. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to praise God for His blessings. He has worked miracles for me and my family for many, many years. And my friend, it doesn't hurt. I shouldn't even say it that way. My friend, I hope the Spirit compels you. I hope the Spirit compels you and me to spend so much more time in prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving unto God. Look at what He's gotten us to. Look at where He's brought us. Patty and I were talking the other day about how there have been times we have prayed so hard for situations that He had already taken care of. We didn't even know it. And it just fills you with tears and you start crying. And I had a situation not long ago. I just fell on my face and I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to thank you for this? Please show me how to thank you for the amazing miracle that you have done. My friend, I praise God for a heavenly Father that wants to give us good things. And I want to say just one thing in closing. Sometimes, or a lot of times, and this is out of streams in the desert, God loves to surprise His children. And I want you to think about that. Don't you like to surprise your children? Can you remember surprising your children? I can remember one Christmas many, many years ago when I came out and I opened a bunch of gifts under the tree. And my daddy said, my cousin Neil lived next door to me. I did his funeral. But he grew up next door to me. He said, man, Neil's in the backyard doing something. You need to look back there. And I didn't know what Neil was doing. So I jumped up and ran to the window and I looked back there and there saddled up was a pinto pony. My little Shetland had died that previous summer, and he was a brand new pinto pony all saddled up. That was the biggest surprise I ever got as a child for Christmas, and I'll never forget that. And I was reading in Streams in the Desert the other day how the Heavenly Father loves to surprise His children. And I thought back to my daddy in that situation. And so then I started saying, Lord, remind me of a lot of the things you surprised me. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. If Judy feels led, I'll ask her to come play something. And let's start right now. And you can just pray this prayer. All you got to say is, Lord, please show me something very, very, very specific that I can give you thanks for right now. Holy Spirit, just bring into my mind and heart a situation and the specifics of it that can really lift up my heart in a spirit of thanksgiving unto you. And then in the simplicity of the moment, all you have to say is, thank you, Lord Jesus. So for a few moments, let's offer up thanksgiving unto our Lord. And if you want to pray with me, you promise.